open my heart to come with, and you will find it in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 16, reading the 14th verse. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 16, reading verse 14. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not on them which had seen him after he was risen. Mark's Gospel, chapter 16, and the 14th verse. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. I do not know how any of you feel within your hearts as I have read this verse. The Lord, knowing what a dreadful sin is the sin of unbelief, and yet, if the Holy Ghost may indeed come upon me to help me, I desire first of all to speak to you regarding two very sad sins which were found in the hearts and lives of the Lord's own beloved disciples, and also the dear women who came to the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. Before the rising of the sun, it says, I believe, in another gospel. In this one it says, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. First of all, then, to speak regarding the sin of fear, which gripped many of their hearts, and then the sin of unbelief, which also took hold of them. And I am sure there are those here with myself who feel thankful that these things are recorded, because we have in this account the 11 beloved disciples of the Lord. We have the godly women that are also mentioned. First of all, then, that we might consider this part of the subject, and then to be helped to speak regarding the wondrous power of salvation which has been wrought out by the Lord Jesus Christ upon Calvary. And whatever we may pass through, if indeed we belong to him, our souls can never be lost. Our salvation is sure, because it is founded upon the rock of ages. And whilst we must first speak regarding these two particular sins that are recorded in this 16th chapter of Mark and in other places, yet how merciful the Lord was to them. He didn't cut them off because of their fear. He didn't cut them off because of their unbelief. He didn't say to them, well, here you are in this dreadful condition. I'll have no more to do with you. I'm finished with you. And your salvation is no longer certain because of your sins. We first begin our meditation in Gethsemane. There to begin to try and trace out this part of the subject that is so upon our heart. You will remember, I'm sure some of you will at least remember, how Jesus, going into Gethsemane, took with him his disciples. And then he took Peter, James, and John that much further than the others. But where do we find them in Gethsemane? Those favored disciples, Peter, James, and John, we find them asleep. One hymn writer, I believe it is Joseph Hart, who says concerning this, to shun the sight, they fell asleep. And yet if we know anything of our own hearts, and in one way this is a comfort to me, and I hope it will be to you. You see, although we are so completely helpless regarding the things to do with our never-dying souls, we cannot bring ourselves thing in it all, and whatever blessing we have received or may yet receive, it can come alone from God by and through the divine work of God the Holy Ghost. Well, those three favored disciples, they could not sustain Gethsemane. In that beautiful hymn of Joseph Hart's 802, it comes in like this, and it has touched my own poor heart at times. 'Tis not now for such as ye to sustain Gethsemane. It's impossible for us. It was impossible for them, and it is impossible for us. If we are to be led even a little into Gethsemane, the judgment hall, and to Calvary, and indeed to the glorious resurrection of our Saviour, it can only be by and through God the Holy Ghost. Let me make that very clear. It can only be through God the Holy Spirit that we can enjoy or receive any true blessing in our hearts. Now, I feel there's the need for another thought here. May none of us rest in this. What I mean is, it is to be prayed for. It is to be prayed for. That is what we need. We need prayer. If we are to be favored individually and collectively here as a people, it can only come by and through God himself and through the work of the Holy Spirit, and as we are favored with prayer. And secret prayer, dear friends, is the secret, I feel, of it all. I'm going to ask you all a question here. Has there been secret prayer in our hearts, in our lives, throughout this past week? Has there been secret prayer? Now, that's very vital. And then we go on a little. We think of dear Peter, how he denied his Lord. He followed afar off. He denied him. And yet the Lord turned and looked upon him, and that broke his heart. He went out and he wept bitterly. I'm sure of this, that dear Peter could never forget that day, that time of denial of his Lord. It was all in the school of teaching for him in his future ministry, so that he could speak with authority and assurance concerning the things of God. We go a little further. We think of the godly women, and we are told in this gospel, Mark's gospel, in the 15th chapter, and there is this record of the godly women concerning the crucifixion of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. There were also women looking on afar off, among whom was Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James the Less, and of Joseph and Salome. Where do we find them? Looking on afar off. Do you find that it's like that with you? Do we find so often that the Lord has to say to us, "What, could ye not watch with me 1 hour?" You have to prove this. You have to prove you cannot watch with him 1 moment, let alone 1 hour. We can only watch with him as grace is given, as strength is given. And some of us, I believe, have had moments in Gethsemane when we have watched with him a little. We have been with him into the judgment hall at times for a few moments, especially in this, and Jesus held his peace. We've been there a few times. We've been with him to Calvary when we have known what it is to cry out in our own little measure, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? When we have known a little of the conflict and the warfare within our poor hearts, and in this way have had a little fellowship with him in his suffering. But here we are then, so completely incapable of anything that is truly gracious. We cannot bring ourselves into Gethsemane, the judgment hall, or Calvary. We cannot do anything in ourselves but sin. Nothing but sin I thee can give. Does that find you on this Lord's Day morning? Nothing but sin I thee can give. The mercy is nothing but love shall I receive. Now these dear godly women and the disciples, although they were found in this condition that I must just seek to bring before you, and yet the Lord loved them. He had given himself for them. He had cried out upon Calvary, "It is finished. Salvation's work was done." Dear friends, our salvation in Christ is assured. We stand upon the rock. We do not stand upon ourselves. We do not stand upon our own merit. We do not stand upon our own works. We've nothing whatsoever that we can bring or give, but our whole salvation, it rests upon Jesus Christ. Now that is the foundation for the lost and the ruined, made feelingly to know it in the fall and in their own hearts. I do want to look at this account here a little more. We find these godly women come into the sepulchre, and they had prepared spices. Now there's something very precious in this. They prepared spices. They rested on the Sabbath as they had it then. And then very early in the morning, They come with their spices. They come with the desire in their hearts to anoint him whom their soul loved. Now it takes me back to a thought that I've already expressed to you. But you see, there was preparation for the Sabbath. As we know it today in our day, it is the first day of the week. The Lord's Day is the first day of the week with us. It has been so since the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Now, have we been found then? Friends, how did you spend Saturday? How did we spend yesterday? I'm sure many of you would rightly respond and you would say, well, we had our work to do, we had our responsibilities, we had our duties, and all those things that we must attend to. But oh dear friends, did you have any thought about the Lord's Day? Did we have any thought about the Lord's Day? I have felt exceedingly burdened during the past week concerning my solemn position here as an under-shepherd. And I am so aware of this that it is only as God maintains and upholds and continues to bless his word in our midst that there can be any blessing at all. You see, the Lord could remove his favour and his blessing from us here in a moment. Does it trouble you? Does it exercise us? So I just leave that thought for you to take home. How did you spend yesterday? How did we spend it? In the midst of all our duties and responsibilities, were we compelled to pray about the Lord's Day? Now these godly women, this is how they came to the sepulchre. That is really an aside to the subject, but I've expressed it and I feel it. The more prayer we know, the more secret prayer we know as a people, the more hope there is of blessing yet in our midst. And surely this is what we so need. We would not rest or glory in the form without the power. Then where do we find them? And they said among themselves, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. I just pause here. I desire to be led by the Holy Spirit. Perhaps there are those of you here, and in your life at this present time, it is just as it was with these dear godly women. There's this great stone that's in the way. Have you, as it were, a great stone that stands in the way in your life at this present time? To put it in simple words, have you things in your life that you do not know what to do with? You have said with Jehoshaphat, neither know we what to do. But, oh, friends, these dear women, and I believe it will be with you as you lay it before the Lord, you will find that this great stone that's in your life, the Lord will roll it away as he rolled it away for them. The Lord can roll away your stone and mine. Oh, that you might go home with this. An awareness of what the Lord can do for you. Lay it before him. For with man, nothing is possible. With God, all things are possible. Now, what I desire most of all to come to now is this. You see, as poor trembling women, and as they came to the sepulchre, they looked and they found that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great, but the Lord had rolled it away for them. And then we find this recorded, and entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. They were affrighted. We read of this in more than one place. We're hoping to sing for our closing hymn that beautiful hymn of Top Ladies, and it begins like this: from whence this fear and unbelief? From whence this fear and unbelief? How fearful we are of death. How fearful we are of things that, I know of no other way to express it, but things that belong to the spirit world. You see, we are poor, fearing creatures. I do not know how any of you will respond to this thought, but I'm sure there are those here. You know what it is to be afraid of death. The Bible speaks of those especially who all their lifetime are subject to bondage through the fear of death. The fear of the unknown. The fear in this, as we think of approaching death, and we cannot understand, we cannot enter into it. We shall only enter into it as death comes. So here, you see, they were very fearful, and they were affrighted. They couldn't understand, they couldn't enter into the meaning of this. But here we have the answer given to them, and he saith unto them, be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen, he is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee, and there shall ye see him as he said unto you. And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. Why those fears? There may well be those here this morning that may be full of fear. Fear regarding tomorrow. Fear regarding the future. Fear as concerning your end. Perhaps you've been brought there in your soul's exercise. You stood, as it were, on the very bank of Jordan. But the thing is this, why those fears? Behold, 'tis Jesus holds the helm and guides the ship, spreads the sails brings the breezes sent to waft us through the deep to the regions where the mourners cease to weep. You see, your life is hid with Christ in God. Your salvation is sure in him. How fearful then they were. We find another place, I just turn, I believe it's in Luke's Gospel, when the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, their Saviour came to them, walked with them, and blessed them. And as they arose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. But then we read this. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. Do you know what it is to be terrified and affrighted? Oh, dear friend, your life is hid with Christ in God. The Lord will not give to his people dying grace until a dying hour. We must not expect dying grace until a dying hour. You see, we've sung this morning, be still, my heart, these anxious cares. To thee are burdens, thorns, and snares. They cast dishonour on thy Lord and contradict his gracious word. Oh, the Lord will never forsake the work of his own hands. Jesus, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them to the end. So then why those fears? You say, I'm so fearful. What you need is the Lord to come in the blessed words that he spake on one occasion. And this is what we read. He said, "It is I. Be not afraid. It is I." You see, it's Jesus. This affliction that may be upon you, the Lord is in it. This that you might even be wondering whether it's going to bring you to death, and yet the Lord is in it. Oh, he has laid it upon you. So why those fears then? Isn't it true, as another hymn writer puts it, "Creatures of fear we drag along, and fear where no fear is." We're so prone to fears, and we're so prone to sinful fears, brought safely by his hand thus far. Now you must acknowledge that. Brought safely by his hand thus far. Your Lord has brought you through many dangers, toils and snares. You've been brought through afflictions, sorrows, bereavements, troubles, temptations thus far. And you see, it's because your life is hid with Christ in God. And then I must attempt to come to what perhaps is especially upon my heart. What do we read about these beloved disciples? We read this. "Dear Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils, and she went and told them that had been with him, as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not." And then again it says, "After that he appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they them." Oh, this dreadful sin of unbelief. Do you find it works in your heart? Do you find that this dreadful sin is so often with you? Do you know what it is for the devil to come in like a flood, and he says to you, "There's nothing in religion. You're deluded. There's no life after death. It's the end." Do you know what it is to be tempted by Satan? Do you know what it is for the devil to come and to say to you, "There is no God"? He may come and he may say to you, "Look at the world and all the things that are going on there." And as many, many people will say, "If God is a God of love, why then all the dreadful things that are taking place?" Oh, the awful power of unbelief. And the most solemn aspect of unbelief is this, that it fights against God's love. What I perhaps feel particularly, on the one hand, there is this dreadful sin of unbelief. And in the verse that I have read to you, "Afterward he appeared unto the 11, as they sat at meat," or as they were together, "and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen." Oh, friends, do you find yourself a companion to these beloved disciples of the Lord, his 11 disciples that were with him? Judas now had gone to his own place. But here we have the 11 disciples of the Lord. The Lord had met with them. He had said to them, "Follow me." They had left all. They'd followed him. They'd been with him. They'd heard his voice.
He'd blessed them, he'd spoken to them, they'd communed with him, and yet here they are, so full of unbelief that they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. Well, if you know anything of your own heart, you'll say, Lord, I'm no different to these disciples. And yet, do you feel thankful that this is recorded? You see, the Lord didn't cut them off. He didn't say, I'm not going to have any more to do with you. He had mercy on them. He knew. You see, the mercy is that the Lord knows. He knows our hearts. He knows how weak and faint we are. He knows that we have no ability. We have no power. We can do nothing whatsoever regarding our never dying souls. It can come alone through him. Well, on the one hand then, we have ventured with this the fears that they knew, the unbelief that they knew. But oh, may the Lord help me now to convey this to you, that their Saviour had given his life upon Calvary for them. He had come into Gethsemane. He had sweat, as it were, great drops of blood falling to the ground. He had been in an agony. The pangs of his body were great, but greater the pangs of his mind. Oh, friends, whatever, wherever we may get to in our life, however far off we may be, and our sins which torment us, our sins which testify against us, and yet our salvation in Jesus Christ is sure. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, has he laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you? He has said, you who unto Jesus for refuge have fled. You see, we tend to lose sight of this. Our salvation is in Jesus. He came into Gethsemane. And there, oh, that sacred garden. That garden that Joseph Hart was so led to. I do just want to read to you. And it's this, view him in that olive press, squeezed and wrung till whelmed in blood. View thy Maker's deep distress, hear the sighs and groans of God. Then reflect what sin must be, gazing on Gethsemane. And from there, he was apprehended. All men, his beloved disciples among them, forsook him and fled. He trod the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with him. Oh, that we might consider, may we be favored. We need the Holy Spirit in this. Consider him who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds, you've not yet resisted unto blood striving against sin. Oh, to have a glimpse of the sufferings of our Saviour. To be favoured this Lord's Day morning, to see him in the olive press, squeezed and wrung till whelmed in blood. Oh, that it might bring us to say with another hymn writer, his way was much rougher and darker than mine. Did Christ my Lord suffer, and shall I repine? Friends, what are our sufferings compared to his? What are our sufferings compared to his? There's no comparison. You see, our Saviour came to Calvary, and there they nailed him to a cross of wood. They pierced his hands and his feet, and the soldier pierced his side, 'tis true, but we have pierced him through and through. What think ye of Christ is the test to try both our state and our scheme. We cannot be right in the rest unless we think rightly of him. Oh, friends, what is Jesus Christ to you and me? What is he to us? This is the important thing. Well, I hope that God's word may encourage us that although we too know what it is to be terrified at times and affrighted, and as we too will know what it is to be filled with unbelief, and sometimes, as it were, held down by it, and yet may we be given a glimpse by faith of the sacred words as uttered by Jesus on Calvary, "It is finished. It is finished. Salvation's work is done." Our salvation does not rest upon our frames or our feelings. It does not rest upon our works. It does not rest upon us in any shape or form, but our salvation rests upon Jesus. That is where our salvation rests, on the rock of ages founded. What can shake thy sure repose? With salvation's walls surrounded, thou mayest smile at all thy foes. Well, I'm going to leave it. Afterward he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And oh, friends, if we know anything of our hearts, we would have been just the same. I know I would. I would have been just the same as they. But what I felt particularly is this, that it does not detract from the foundation. The foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal: the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Amen.
Be helped to conclude with hymn 227, "From whence this fear and unbelief hast thou, O Father, put to grief thy spotless Son for me? And will the righteous judge of men condemn me for that debt of sin which, Lord, was charged on thee?" Hymn 227.
gracious God, we have closed our worship with a very, very sacred hymn. And we can but ask, Lord, that everyone here might read it through again and again, and, Lord, to pray over it, that we might know the precious truth that it contains in our souls. For the closing line of the hymn says this: since Jesus died for thee. Lord, this is the great question that we all need to be put out of question. May it be so. Pardon all that thy pure eyes have seen amiss. We would thank thee again for journeying mercies to thy house, and pray that every one may return home in safety and in peace. And Lord, whatever thy will regarding the evening service, may our hearts be prepared for thy will in it all. O Lord, remember those that will gather this afternoon in our Sunday school. Favour them there, Lord. And oh, bless every one that's here. Thou hast brought one and another to thy house once more. And Lord, we think too of young men and young people at this time of the year. And Lord, thou hast brought one of our younger friends home from his studies. And we pray that thou wilt bless these dear young people, especially as they leave home. Lord, thou knowest their need, and thou knowest the need of their parents. Lord, be with us. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God with the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.